What started your mission to make a billion people happy?
Well, first of all, it's over a billion. Don't limit me. So many times we limit ourselves with the meaning of the past, casting a shadow over our future. But it was a really interesting story. You know, I lost everything in 2008, over $100 million, including my mom's house, when the only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy her house. And I set forth to change my paradigm when I lost everything. I told my wife I no longer was going to be happy when I was going to be happy for the sake of what? My family, my health, my faith, my finance, for the sake of. And in that mission, I recovered very quickly. And at the time when I made back all my money in the paradigm shift of I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy, what am I doing to interfere with it? As I found out how to shorten that distance of resistance of what's interfering with me and my potential, my daughter, who was 12, her friend committed suicide. And I couldn't imagine, like, I've been around recovery, I've been around, you know, CTE, I've been around veterans, PTSD, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. I know why people would kill themselves, and it sometimes makes sense to me, but a 12-year-old, that didn't make any sense. And so I was walking the beach, shoes off, not very religious at the time, and just working on my faith. And God literally talked to me. And I know if I was listening to myself 10 years ago, I'd say, well, Dave Meltzer is a Jesus freak. God talked to him. Yeah, he did. And he said, you have a power, a gift to help people, to teach them to be abundant. And at first, I was terrified. I'm like, I can't go back to my house and tell my wife that after recovering from losing $100 million, that my mission was going to make people happy. And so I walked the beach thinking about how could I make this reasonable in the human experience? Like, tell my wife, I know I lost everything. I know we made it back, but now here, God talked to me, and I'm on this mission to change the world, over a billion people. And I thought about what I actually could do that would sound reasonable to her. And what I realized was I could, with the brand and the community that I built, empower 1,000 people that would empower 1,000 people that would empower another 1,000. So once I did the math, 1,000 times 1,000, a million times 1,000 is a billion. Now I didn't sound nuts, crazy, woo-woo, God freak, you know, whatever people would call me. And I still was afraid nonetheless, but I came home and told my wife that this was going to be my mission, and I knew the commissions would follow. And so I focused in on that mission. Surprisingly, not only was she super excited and receptive, but the first time I said it on an interview, you know, Dave Meltzer, he's on a mission to empower over a billion people to be happy. Nobody laughed. They were like, how are you going to get that done? And then I tell them the math. They're like, yeah, dude, you're the kind of guy that could empower 1,000 people to do that in your lifetime. I believe you. And how can I be of service or of value to you? And now here's the irony of the whole thing. I remember when I was a child and my dad left. My mom, when I would live below the line, she would say, live to your name. I said, what do you mean? She said, live up to your name. I said, what do you mean? She said, I named you David Meltzer. I said, well, yeah. She goes, you know what that means? I said, no. She said, beloved is David, servant is Meltzer. You are a beloved servant. And so as I get emotional, because it means for the sake of why I'm here, to be 57 years old, to have made tons of money, helped tons of people, and had so much fun in my life, being in the realm in which I've worked my entire life, to me, it means so much that I've been anointed with the power to change the world in one person at a time. And now I've been given the capability, the skills, the knowledge, and the desire with technology, which I've been trained on since 1992, to help amplify that message.
So what do you think? So we're talking a lot about happiness. What do you think the key to happiness is?
The key to happiness is the definition that I give it for me. And my definition of happiness is the ability to enjoy what you don't like or don't love about what you love consistently every day, persistently without quit, in the pursuit of my potential, my highest self. So the idea that people have, you know, oh, if you love what you do, you won't work a day in your life. Bullshit. I represented celebrities, athletes, and entertainers. They love playing football, baseball, hockey, basketball. They loved it. But they had to learn to love what they didn't like or didn't love about baseball, football, and hockey. And I see that with entrepreneurship. And you know where it has the biggest impact in my life? Is with my family. Because once I learned the happiness that exists in my family, when I learned to love what I don't like or don't love about the person I love the most, which is my wife, when I learned to love what I didn't like or love about her or my children, you know, anyone that tells you they love their children all the time, yeah, because they've learned to love what they don't like or don't love about their children. Because there's a lot of bullshit when you're raising four kids. Trust me, I don't like or love them talking back, rolling their eyes, you know, not saying thank you. But I've learned to love that. And I think it's really important to be happy to enjoy and learn to love what you don't like or love about what you love and about what other people don't like and love in a consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, especially with social media. Your potential, not what other people think of you, not what you want other people to think of you, but what you want for you in that divine direction.
Yeah, I think so. I have a lot of teens in my audience, and I think that that's something so important is we tend to limit ourselves. Definitely with social media can help us, but it can also set us back a little because we have so many eyes on us, so many people telling us what we should be and what to conform to. So I think that's really interesting that you pointed that out. But do you have any tips for any teenagers who are maybe going through trying to be something better but feel limited?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, understand that things take time. And so I think part of the problem with being young is that we take situations when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where we want to be, and we think we're never going to get there. Yeah. We don't have the humility of knowing you're either humble or you're about to be. We don't know what we don't know. The advantage of getting older is you start to realize you don't know what you don't know. And you start realizing that when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where you want to be, you may actually be protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by it, not punished by it. And so when we're 17 and 18 years old and we have all this pressure that we are supposed to know our why, know our purpose, there's no way you could know it at that age. In fact, all I encourage you to do is to apply your why, to apply your why, to allow yourself to do three things. Don't worry about the outcomes. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about what you think other people think, because you don't even know what you think, let alone think what other people think or think what they think of you. Simply, number one, just do your best. Now, also realize when I tell my kids and I tell the kids out there, do your best, you cannot give 100% in everything you do. You would be exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. Doing your best isn't, I gave 100% on my homework. I gave 100% on my practice. No. Doing your best is according to the circumstances of the day and the prioritization of the activities that you have in that day, balancing doing your best. So I'm going to do 80% on this. I'm going to give 50 because that's the best I can do today, considering I have 24 hours. Maybe you give 100% on your sleep every day. I'm okay with that for the purpose of recovery and access. But I'm okay if my kids aren't doing 100% their best on their homework every day, but I want them to do their homework every day. Two minutes a day with more than 2 hours on a Saturday. And so number one, do your best. Two, realize why you're here. Life is about lessons. The lessons will keep on coming until you learn them. Here's two things that you need to know about these lessons if you're here to learn. One, you will forget every goddamn lesson that there's ever been. Period. I don't care how smart you are, you will forget every lesson that there ever was. And if you don't believe me, that's why people forget to say thank you. Because there's nothing more powerful, impactful than being grateful. It takes 0.1 seconds and it's free. Why don't people say thank you before they go to bed and when they wake up? When it takes 0.1 seconds, it's free and it's highly impactful. Because they forget. Because human beings forget every lesson ever learned. But here's the power of being a human being. By doing your best and learning lessons, you have the power, especially with technology today, to remember, remind, and recollect any lesson at any time that's ever been. And ChatGPT and other technologies are actually materializing that ability even more and more to elevate our awareness that that's a reality. So do your best, learn lessons. And here's the last one. You'll know it's aligned with what I do. Enjoy, have fun, do your best, learn lessons and have fun. Learn to love what you don't like or love about what you love. And learn to love what you don't like about and don't love about other people, situations, events, and circumstances. I promise you, if you're 17, 18, 19 years old, and you enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential by doing your best within the circumstances of the day, learning lessons, and having fun, you will get to where you want to be faster, and the outcomes will be exponential comparatively to anything you could imagine.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think even as a teen, I think also something we should remind ourselves is just to be easy on ourselves, because like you said, you know, we're not going to learn it all in just these short few years that we have of being teenagers. And I know we get put a lot of pressure on us to figure it all out. You know, you're going to college, you're in late high school.
Yeah, maybe the kids figured it all out. Can you call me and tell me? Because I still haven't.
So speaking of lessons, what do you think, I think we kind of already touched on this, but if you could delve deeper into it, what's the hardest moment you had to come back from or hardest lesson you had to learn?
You know, for me, it's going up to my mom's house after I went bankrupt and not only telling her I had lost everything, but I lost her home.
Right.
And so I remember crying at the door and her being scared. Oh, my God, is everything okay? Are you okay? Yeah. Is your wife? Sophia, hey, kids? Yeah, mom, everything. What's the matter? Mom, I lost everything. I lost everything, including your house, and you need to move. Oh, my gosh, are you okay? Mom, I don't think you heard me. You need to move out of your house. I lost your home. Oh, do you need money? Mom, I'm not sure. Maybe you're in shock. I said, and then I was crying. I said, why is God punishing me? And she said, God doesn't punish you. I said, Mom, I just have to tell you, my mom's very religious. I said, I don't believe in God. And my mom looked at me and smirked. I'll never forget her face. She smirked at me and she said, sweetheart, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. And that was the change in my life, a paradigm shift that I was now going to believe not in the God of money. It was now beneath my feet, because above my head was something omniscient, all powerful, all knowing that protects, promotes, loves, and perfects me, loves me even more than my mom. So when I don't understand, or there's no evidence, or even when the evidence is contrary to where I think I want to be or better, I have faith to seek the wisdom, the answers, the lessons to get to where I want to be or better, even though there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to me actually getting there. And that is a formula for success. I guarantee it.
Wow. That is so powerful. The line that your mom said to you, if you're believing in the wrong God, that is so, wow. That's like, that shocked me. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. You have such an empowering story, and I think it's very important for everyone. And I love how open you are. That's one of the things I love about you, is you're so open, and you tell that your tribulations and trials as well as your success. So it's very inspiring for us teenagers and adults as well. So I think you're definitely on your way to making everyone happy.
Thank you. Just remember, learn to love what you don't like or love about your parents.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm thinking of my kids particularly.
Yeah. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. I thoroughly enjoyed this, and I'm so glad you were able to make the time. Is there anything else you would like to leave us with?
I would like to tell everybody that I'm happy to send all of your community my book. I'll sign it. I'll send it to you. I'll pay for shipping. I'll pay for the book. Please email me, which I put right below, david@dmeltzer.com. It'll help me with my mission. I'm looking for younger people that will have the time to learn and to grow and to help other people to make a lot of money and have fun. David@dmeltzer.com. Remember, most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self. Do good deeds, and the world will be a better place. Thank you.